Washington football. Woo!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Burgundy Zone. I am solo right now because apparently technical difficulties are just too much to overcome. We recorded a joint podcast with Maddie Crocker of the HTBR podcast. I was with Holt and Reed, and it looks like that the sound completely went out. But what's going to happen here is I'm about to invite Maddie in, and we're going to do an abbreviated episode for you, essentially just recapping what we had talked about. And that way we can just at least pump out a product for you guys. I'm sorry. This just continues to happen apparently, to the Burgundy Zone for the past two nights, but I'm going to get this going for you guys. And the first thing that I wanted to do is start talking about these fan questions, that was sent in, cause you guys did a great job with them. The first one I want to discuss is Steve Andy. Steve wants to know, is he too optimistic to think that the Washington football team could win three out of the last four games? And I'm going to be honest with you, Steve. I don't think that's you're too optimistic at all. They have proven that they can do it. They have shown that. And Ron Rivera in particular, Steve, because Ron, his record has continued to get better throughout the season. You know, he has a losing record, I believe, in August, September, and October, and December. His win-loss record is tenfold, a lot better than that. For that reason, I am confident that they could win the last three out of the four. So I don't think you're too optimistic, Steve. I don't think that at all. I think you're right on par. This is a team that is very capable of doing that. And I said it last week, I'm not going to be in the business of saying Alex Smith can't do something. I'm not going to be that guy, because that guy obviously has been proving everybody wrong every step of the way. So I think that he can, and this team can, win three to the last four. Now, Ian Bacon, do we feel that Haskins turned the corner? Is he learning from Alex Smith, and will he be the starter in 2 years' time? And I can't really answer that for you, Ian, because it's all up to coach, right? And we saw with Darius Geis, I hate to say that, but we all thought that he was going to be starting the season. That was in April. And then the season comes around, and he's not even on the team anymore, obviously, had legal issues. But my point being is that we can think that these people are going to be here, but we have no idea how it's going to look in a year. You know what I mean? So I know that Haskins has been listening to everything that Ron Rivera and this coaching staff has asked him to do. And that being said, he's getting in their good graces, doing what he's supposed to be doing. So I do think that he will be around for a little while. I just don't know if he's going to be the starter, because Ron Rivera is not married to Haskins by any stretch, and there's a good chance that they could get a quarterback in the upcoming draft that is Ron Rivera's guy, that he is going to want to have as the starter, overcoming Alex Smith. So, Ian, great question. I really do appreciate it. Oh, wait. And then Andy Burrows from the UK. Do you think most people have warmed up to the team name being the Washington football team? I do. I think that there are people who've warmed up to the name, Andy. I have an issue with thinking that a punchline could be our team name. You know, we saw all over social media this week of people saying, oh, the 11-0 Steelers lost to a team with no name. You know, I just don't think that is a name that's sustainable. You know, it's a joke. It's a punchline right now. And I don't think that's a sustainable product, but I do think people are warming up to it. And I think you're absolutely right. Winning cures everything. You're 100% right about that. Winning cures everything. And it is making the team look better, without a doubt, Andy. I 100% agree with you. Now, Andy's other question is that it's being rumored that the NFL could go down the road of having only one division, like UK soccer does. And does he think that that is comprehensive? Can the NFL do that? And I just don't think it can happen, Andy. I think you kind of need the competition aspect of the divisional games. You know, you think about the Baltimore Ravens with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then with the Washington football team and the Dallas Cowboys. Those rivalries are so crazy because of the competition level between the two, the hatred between the two teams. And I think the NFL prides itself in how much competition that they do have in the NFL right now. I don't think they want to go away from that. And you kind of lose that by going to a one division kind of setup, Andy. I think it's a really good idea, definitely, because, you know, people are complaining about the schedule and the win-loss records because, you know, the Washington football team has a negative record but they might be in the playoffs. And there's the best teams should be in the playoffs. The best teams, so they are. You know, you could talk all you want, but this is a team that just beat the 11-0 Steelers. You had the Giants go to Seattle and beat the Seahawks, a class of the NFC for years. I don't think that should be the case. I know everyone's knee-jerk reaction is going to be that they should make it one straight-up thing because these bad teams shouldn't be getting in. They aren't bad teams. They're beating pretty good teams, actually. So, I don't think that'll work. There, Andy, so thank you for that. Freddie Ham, he wants to know, is it time for Steven Sims to have a breakout game? And I definitely do, Freddie, because Antonio Gibson being out possibly with turf toe, we don't really know, but there's a good chance he's not going to be in this game this weekend. He's got turf toe. He's going to need to take a couple weeks. But when Antonio Gibson was in there, and J.D. McKissic was used a lot as the pre-snap motion kind of receiver to open things up for Antonio Gibson. And if Antonio Gibson's out, I could definitely see Steven Sims being that pre-snap motion guy, Freddie. So I 100% agree with you that he will have a bounce back game. Maddie, thank you so much for joining me again. I'm so sorry that the audio crapped out. I promise it is better now.
No, it's all good. No worries.
All right, so I'm just going over Freddie's question about Steven Sims having a breakout game. So real quick, if you want to jump into that.
I think that I definitely think it's possible. I mean, I think obviously we know that Steven Sims has the skill set, but he obviously has just been dropping a lot of passes, a lot of different things. And obviously with the injuries, he's just not really been able to, I guess, step in like a lot of these other guys. And one thing is, like, a lot of these other guys in the receiver room are stepping up and they're making big plays, and it's going to be hard, you know, because they're going to, you know, fight for your opportunities, and they're probably going to get them right now. Like, Cam Sims is going to get a lot of opportunities from Alex Smith. Terry is obviously going to get a lot of opportunities. So, I mean, he's having to fight for those. And so I think it's possible, but, you know, it's just going to depend on, you know, can he make the right plays at the right time to warrant getting the ball as much as these other guys.
Yes, and I'm sorry I didn't give you the proper introduction that you so well deserve, Maddie. Maddie Crocker of the HTBR podcast, co-hosted with Freddie Ham, one of the most professional podcasts out there. Go and check them out on iTunes and everything. Maddie, the big question I asked you earlier, and I want to ask this again. You were in the interview with Jason Wright and us talking about the team. And the one question you had was very emotionally driven. If you can kind of give the audience an idea of what that question was and how Jason responded.
Yeah, for sure. So the question, I don't remember the exact way I worded the question, but pretty much it went along the lines of, as a lifelong fan of this football team and as a woman, hearing of the previous regime's alleged mistreatment of women was like super disheartening, something that really was a big blow to me and my fandom. And so pretty much I just asked Jason, and even though, because I understand, like, he didn't make this mess, he's just having to come in and clean it up, and that's kind of a crappy position to be in, but he knew that he was going to have to do some cleaning up. He knew what this job entailed. So I just asked him, you know, what do you think that you can do as an organization to kind of build back the trust and faith of your many female fans? Because I think a lot of people don't recognize it, but there are a lot of really great female fans in pretty much any team for any sport, but definitely for Washington. Like, there's a ton. If you just look on Twitter, you'll find so many. So he gave a great answer, and I wish that I could. I'd have to hear it back to, like, really be able to, because in the moment, there are so many great things.
Well, maybe, yeah. So maybe don't, like, try to, like, say what he said, but what did it mean to you, what he said?
Right. Well, I think the biggest thing is, as soon as, because I talked to him about how, you know, I guess I kind of maybe said something along the lines of that, like, it definitely was a moment where I had to question if I still wanted to root for this organization. And the first thing he said was, I just want you to know, I'm so glad that you are still here and that you stuck around. And that was huge to me. I mean, having the president of your favorite football team look at you eye to eye and say, I am glad you stuck around, I am glad you're still here, that's huge. Like, that is a moment I will remember forever. And so, and he said a lot of great things. Like, I mean, this is the main thing I got from it. Jason Wright believes in women. He believes in women in sports. He understands and values women. And to me, that's kind of what I was seeing, because he's at the head, you know, he's the president of this team. A lot of this stuff is going to run through him. So if he has that mindset, and we know that Coach Rivera has that mindset, and a lot of the guys that are heading this organization have that mindset, I feel pretty good about the direction it's going to go in.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a powerful question. It was answered perfectly, in my opinion. And I think that it was the right situation in the right time. And I know I said it to you earlier, Maddie, so I want to make sure everyone knows. I'm appreciative that you stuck around as well. It's been a joy to be able to hear your thoughts on the Washington football team since listening, and I'm glad that you did stick around because you are one of the best voices in this in the podcast world, and I love the way that you view the game. You view it the right way. You don't go off the limb. You know, you weren't calling for Ron Rivera to be fired after he benched Dwayne Haskins. You kind of understood how this process works, and there a lot the fan base is better because you are in it, Maddie. Now, I know that we went through a whole episode. I already went through the questions, but let's get your prediction for the game. What was the one area or facet that you thought the Washington football team had to dominate in order to beat the reunion with the San Francisco 49ers?
Well, I think the big thing that I was thinking was they just needed to continue to dominate in the areas that they have been dominant. They've been playing good football, but I think we can all say that the defensive line has been dominant. The pressure they've gotten, even mostly in the past few weeks, even against the run, which was a big deal and something that in the beginning of the season, in some games, they were just letting, you know, some guys run all over them. But they haven't been doing that. They've gotten more stout on that line. So I really do think if the places, and again, so I think it falls on the defensive line. You know, if they continue to be dominant, I think it's going to be hard for Nick Mullins and the offense to really get in a rhythm. And I think that'll be hard for them to score points.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right about that. We know with Kyle Shanahan's offense that they run the ball well, but Nick Mullins needs play action to push the ball downfield. Hall said it earlier. They're at Mullins' offense. They're only averaging about 10 points per game. This Washington offense has been putting up well over averaging 20 points per game since Alex Smith has come back. And so, in my opinion, if they can stop the run, if they can control the line of scrimmage, they're going to have to make Nick Mullins beat them. And if that is the case, I think they're in a very good position to win the football game, in my personal opinion. Now, Maddie, I have to ask you, the episode is called The Reunion. The reunion of Trent Williams, Jordan Reed, Kyle Shanahan, Tom Compton, Tony Bergstrom from last year. Do you think that this is a revenge game for them facing the Washington football team?
Well, I think that there's definitely some aspects to it. I mean, I think, you know, different players, obviously Tony Bergstrom may not have as big of a revenge feeling as Trent Williams, who's been with the organization for so long. I do think there are aspects of it, though. I do think it's going to be, and I think it is going to be on both sides. I think, you know, Trent Williams is going to, you know, have something to say just about everything that happened and how the relationship got sour. Now, I did say this earlier, but I'll say it again. I think that most of the people that Trent was not happy with are not a part of this organization anymore, and I think that makes it difference. But even with Jordan Reed, yeah, there's going to be this is, you know, my old team. But also, I do believe that, again, I was at the game last year. I was at the San Francisco game, and, you know, those players sliding around on that field doing their thing, it rubbed me the wrong way. So I just have to assume if it rubbed me the wrong way as a fan, the guys like Terry and John Allen that have that just completely just pure competitive mindset, it rubbed them the wrong way too. So I believe that on both ends of the spectrum, it's going to be a bit of a revenge game. And I think it's gonna be a good one.
Yeah. Look, I know that Kevin Sheehan called it kind of petty. Fans kind of saw it, were pissed off about that. But like you said earlier, it wasn't like San Francisco came in and whooped their ass last year. It was like 9-0. It was some really ridiculous of a game. And they kind of celebrated it as if it was, you know. And then with Kyle Shanahan having Aldrick Robinson and other former Washington players be the team captains for the coin toss, it was major disrespect. And it was like kicking them while they're down. It was late in the season. They weren't a very good football team. And then Kyle Shanahan pulls that stunt. And to me, it seems like he's kind of scared this year because they asked him about it. And he said, no, it's water under the bridge now. That was over. That was a year ago. I feel like you're kind of worried about putting up some poster board material for Ron Rivera and company because you see that this team can punch you in the mouth. It's not the same team as last year. How do you feel about that?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think. I think Kyle Shanahan should be afraid of what this football team can do with how they're built right now and the momentum that they have going into this game. So, yeah, I definitely think he probably is scared, and he, you know, probably wishes that some of those things, you know, wouldn't have happened. I mean, obviously they want to win and everything like that. But, yeah, I definitely think that he could probably look back on that. Some of the other players may look back on that and be like, you know, should I have done that in the moment? Oh, well. But you know what? I'm glad they did. I'm sure a lot of these players are going to be glad they did because on our side, because I think that they're going to take it to them. And I think that, you know, all of that will just make it even sweeter, just all this stuff that they did last year.
Absolutely. You know, I'm a big Kyle Shanahan guy until that what happened last year. I always said he was an offensive-minded genius that followed his dad, but pulling that stunt seemed kind of petty, and it wasn't this coaching staff that had an issue with him back in 2012. So for him to do that, it pissed me off, and I hope that we punch him in the mouth. Now, Washington Rundown had a very good question. I haven't talked about it yet, but I loved your answer earlier. And his question basically is, what is Chase Young's impact to this team?
Yeah, so I think most people, when they look at Chase Young, and deservedly so, because I will say this to preface, I believe that that goal line stand against the Steelers was probably one of the biggest moments of this season so far, and look who spearheaded that, Chase. Yeah. So, like, we could point to so many instances on the field where he has been so impactful, but one of the biggest things that I've seen from him has actually been more off of the field. Now, it's been on the field, but it's been on the sidelines. I mean, if you've been watching, you'll see when Cam Sims caught that one-hander, look who was sprinting down the sidelines to meet with him. Anytime they pan to the sidelines, they're looking at Ron Rivera, whether he's cussing out referees, whatever he's doing. Chase is right there beside him doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And that energy, I just think the energy that he brings as a leader of this team already, and even though at the same time as a rookie, I think when you bring that energy, the rest of the team is going to match that. And I think it's no secret that we've seen that this team has been so much more energetic. They've been ready to fight. They just look like a different team with a different type of energy. And I think that what Chase does, and there's other players that do it too, but what Chase has done and what he's brought has really changed the dynamic of this whole team. Just the energy is just off the charts. He's an incredible teammate. He's an incredible player. So that is something that I've seen, and I've really thought, you know, has changed this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll talk about it in like the physical aspect of Chase commanding double teams. And the one issue with this Washington defense this year was they're giving up deep balls, big plays. And Chase's presence forces offenses like Big Ben, like the Giants, Cowboys, to throw quick throws. And that actually goes to the benefit of the defense and their weakness. So Chase Young really does impact every facet of that defense, because now that so much is focuses on him, that means Jonathan Allen has a one-on-one. That means Daron Payne has a one-on-one. And same with Montez Sweat. And then the secondary members benefit from it as well by not having to cover deep downfield because the ball's getting out quick. Chase Young's impact on this team, Washington Rundown, is unmeasurable, in my opinion. And I think you're 100% right about the energy. I said it on Twitter, you know, Chase Young is my spirit animal. Seeing him out there before the game, like just getting pumped up on the field during warmups, it's just like, you know, that energy is so infectious. And that was something that was said about him back in the preseason. I 100% agree that his presence brings so much energy to this team, and something that's actually been missing for a long time, because a lot of people talked about this was a team of individuals, and seeing Chase Young sprint down the field to give dabs to Cam Sims is a complete opposite of that, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I think that's a big part of it, too. It's not just the energy of the team and the nucleus, but it's like it spreads out to the fan base as well. I mean, we're getting so excited by Chase's energy. It literally impacts every part of this organization. I bet from the top, I'm sure Jason's looking at it, too, and is like, you know, to the bottom. Like, it's everywhere. It's impacting every facet. And so just to have that big of an impact, again, as a rookie, that's just, it's mind-blowing, but it's great. I love it.
Absolutely. Now, let's get your score prediction and your MVP of the game against the 49ers, the reunion game on Sunday.
So, I think that I kind of had, like, because really, my thing, I think that J.D. McKissic is probably going to have a pretty big game, you know, taking over probably as kind of the bell cow for the most part, I would assume. In this game, I think that he's going to do well because I think he's a great running back. So I definitely think he's going to have a big impact. But I did switch it over to the other side of the ball, and I ended up saying Montez Sweat just because I could so see Montez. Like, we're all looking at Chase. We're looking – and Montez has just been so scary good as well. I could see him doing something like, you know, maybe another interception, maybe a sack fumble. I could see him making a big play that could shift the momentum of this game, something like that. So I'm going to go with Montez. And I think the score – I could see it being pretty similar to what happened in the Steelers game. Not really super high scoring, not a ton of offense, maybe like a 23-17, somewhere around there. I think it's going to be close. I don't think that Washington's just going to run away with it, but I do think that they win it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And earlier, Hall was the one to also pick for them to win, but Reed did the justice of picking them to lose. I definitely do think that they win this game, and I don't think that the 49ers are going to be able to put that many points up based off of the run-tack ability of the defense. I think they're going to be able to stifle them a little bit, and my MVP of the game is going to be Alex Smith. I think this is his revenge game in a way, and what other better way to write the finish this season kind of with him going and beating the team that drafted him, that moved on from him, and in order for him coming back from this injury and everything and getting the W against them, I think is a recipe for success. And I think that is the best possible way that this could happen for the season. Now, the actual score, I'm going to go 24-13. I think the Washington football team is going to be able to put up some points on their defense. I know they're very, very good, and their defensive coordinator is going to be a head coach very soon. But I have more confidence in the Washington offense at this point than I do in San Francisco's facing each defense. Richard Sherman's older. You know, I think Terry's going to have a better day than he did on Monday with only 2 catches for 14 yards. I think he really will be a point of emphasis. What about you, Maddie?
Yeah, I definitely think, and I think that one thing is that, you know, the national media, everybody else, they really think, I think that this team is still garbage, because I understand at the beginning of the season it was a slow start, you know, people were trying to find their place, the pieces were kind of like fitting in, but I do believe at this point, this is a good football team. Like, they are hitting on most cylinders, the offense is clicking, the defense is becoming the dominant force that everybody expected them to be. So I think that, I think Washington's coming. If they come out and play their game, I said it earlier just like this. I think the only way they lose is if they completely lay an egg on Sunday. I think that, you know, obviously we've seen them kind of be more of a second half team. I would like to see them really put together a full 4 quarters against San Francisco, but I genuinely think that, you know, I know that there's injuries on the 49ers, but even completely healthy, I think Washington matches up well against them, and I think that it should be, I don't want to say an easy win, but it should be, you know, it should be a win.
Yeah, definitely. And the way that they played against Pittsburgh, obviously they have to replicate that. And with a young team, you worry about them being too confident heading after a win like that. But Coach Rivera, of course, has a PowerPoint ready for the team on humility to be able to have them go into this matchup level-headed. He's just a perfect coach, in my opinion. I mean, what other person would you rather have right now to deal with everything in the offseason? And then for him to have this kind of mindset for this game, I mean, what other perfect way for you to get ready for the San Francisco matchup? I can't think of one. Now, Maddie, I want to talk about something with you because we didn't gloss over yet, but we did talk about it earlier. The white uniforms, absolutely amazing. I can't thank them enough for doing it. And they balled out in them.
Yeah, it was honestly, it was storybook. I mean, obviously we all know, I think all of us have been calling for these uniforms for a bit. So I think as soon as I realized that they were going to wear them, as soon as I saw the tweets and I was pumped. I was ready. I did have a moment where I was like, because I was like, this game, if they don't come out and win this game and this is the game they came out in the all whites,
we're never going to wear
I'm going to feel worse. Because like if we would have come out and lose to the Steelers, like been competitive, I wouldn't have been like, I'd have been like, okay, fair enough. Good team. But I was like, oh no, this puts a lot more pressure on the game. But they came out, they did their thing. Who was surprised? I mean, those white on whites, like, they just elevate a team. They elevate this team, obviously. So, yeah, no, it was huge. I was super excited. The perfect game to bring them out. Yeah. Like you said, I mean, there's been no better game this season. They came out and beat a team that everybody expected them to lose to. And they did it in the white on whites. I mean, I don't know if there's going to be a more impressive and fun win for me this season. I hope there is. Maybe they could surprise me, but like I think this might be the one.
Dude, I think you're 100% right about that. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, is this the biggest win that they've had since 2012? You know, or even 2015 with that playoff win with the Philadelphia late play 17th week when they got into the playoff against the Eagles. I don't know when the last time they had this big of a win, to be perfectly honest with you. But the one aspect to me, Maddie, about the white uniforms that screams to me that I don't think a lot of people are talking about, the fact that this organization is now actually paying attention to the fans and is telling the fans, we hear you, and yes, here you go. I mean, that blows my mind. I would have never expected that.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, you know, I think we were just so subjected for so long, literally my entire lifetime as a fan, Like, it seemed like the organization, the front office was so far off. They were in a different zip code than we were. We had no privy to know what they were about. What they just were hidden from us. And it just felt like we're fans, but like we're just fans. Like, we are so separated. And the fact that it doesn't feel like that at all anymore. I mean, we literally sat and talked to the president ourselves. Like, it is so different. And it really is, like, the fact that we've been calling for these uniforms and they wore them, you know, and other there's been other things along the line that, like, again, with the name even, and they're listening to us. And whether, you know, they say do everything, because obviously everybody's calling for a lot of different stuff, but just knowing that it's like, no, we do hear you, like you said. I don't know that I ever thought that we would get to this point, in this organization. I didn't think that they could do it. So the fact that they are, I mean, it is, it's really special. I really do think it's special.
And it's smart, to be perfectly honest. I mean, you could say that there was a huge rift between fan base and organization over the years, not because purely because of Bruce Allen, but Dan had his own finger in things, but there was a huge rift. And doing this, listening to the fans, is how you repair that relationship. And it's such a smart way to go about it, and they're doing it perfectly. And then with having Ron Rivera running the helm and having changing the organization, right? Because all of the offseason, I know that it was kind of an emotional time for you over the offseason because of all the allegations. And so I wanted to ask you, at one point you were contemplating not being a fan of the Washington football team anymore. And like Jason Wright said, I appreciate that you're still here. What is the difference between then and now? You know, now you're again a lifelong fan. What kind of changed that for you?
Yeah, it definitely, like, I say it like this. There has been so many lows with this organization. Anybody that's been a fan for even just a couple of years, you understand there haven't been many highs. I'm only 25 years old. I didn't experience the Super Bowls. I didn't experience the glory days that my dad talked about. I have no idea what that was like. I have seen low, low, low. But I never, in any moment, because of the product on the field, I never said, I don't know. I'm going to switch teams. I'm going to go. I don't know if I can do this anymore. The one time ever in my fandom that I thought I really may have to step back from this was when all of those allegations, when the Washington Post article came out, because I thought, you know, as a woman, how can I sit here and support a team that would be willing to do that and treated women that way? Like, how could I do that? And really, like, there's no way. But the thing that did change was simply the people changed. The culture, I really do believe, is changing. I believe that starts with Jason, that the Julie Donaldson hire, the Ron Rivera hire. It's about getting people in that you can tell are genuine people, are good character, strong character people. And I can honestly say that I believe that now our organization's headed into a direction where women are just as appreciated as men are. And that's a big deal. That's a really big deal. Because, you know, if that wouldn't have happened, I probably would have been gone. But they brought people in that made me say, you know what? I want to stick around and support these people because I like these people. And these people are worth giving a shot to because they're worth being supported. And so they just brought in people that I was like, that I believed in. And so that allowed me to look past, at least for now, to say, you know, I will stay long enough to see if this thing turns around because I've been here long enough where I want to see it turn around. And if they do, I want to be there repping just like all of my other friends. Like, I want to be there for that moment when they turn back around to the glory days. So that's really the big thing, you know. They took out the people that were causing all the mess, and they brought in people that I really think can clean it up. And so that gave me enough to stick with it.
Yeah, and I think you're 100% right. The one feeling I got from Ron Rivera when he did come in the building is that he would not let stuff like that slide. That you knew that he's the type of guy that would stand up for the one person who doesn't have a voice, that wouldn't allow those kind of shenanigans in the building. 100% right, and I'm glad that you stuck around, Maddie. I really am. It means a lot. A lot of congratulations to Jonathan Allen, nominated Man of the Year, Dustin Hopkins, Special Teams Player of the Week. Good thing Ron Rivera stuck with him throughout the season. You know, we had blanket parties early in the season that Dustin Hopkins was a victim of, and it looks like he listened, did he? So I'm glad that he gotten a lot better. He was a big difference in that game on Monday night. So congratulations to those folks. Javon Leak got brought up to the practice squad after Antonio Gibson goes down to with turf toe possibly for a little amount of time. So Javon Leak is there for the Washington football team. Maddie, I can't thank you enough for coming back on right after recording for over an hour and then coming and being able to talk to me a little bit, just be able to put out a product for tonight. I can't thank you enough. It speaks a lot about you, Maddie. I really do appreciate you coming on again.
Yeah, man, of course. I always enjoyed talking football with you, and it's always an honor to be a part of your great show, your great podcast, and anytime. Yeah, I would love to be a part.
I am so bitter because that was such a good episode. There was so many laughs, so much good talk, and it's all gone because I am a moron. But that being said, thank you so much, everybody. Next week, we won't be recording on Tuesday. We'll be recording on Monday. It's my wedding anniversary on Tuesday, so make sure you guys keep an ear out for that. Everybody, thank you so much for joining in tonight. Maddie, thank you so much. I will see you very soon. Hopefully, we can connect again in the relative future.
Yes, definitely so.
All right, everybody. Washington football. Woo! Washington football. Woo!